You know, I find it so funny that just a little over a month ago, we hired a preacher. And why am I up here? it's my question. So if you see Andrew in a couple months or so teaching my teen classes on Sunday morning, that's why. It's like a trade-off. Plus, I have to figure that he did 14 years of youth ministry. I have to figure that he has an itch that he needs to scratch, you know, teaching all these adults and whatnot. So I will graciously give that to you, Andrew. So a while back, I had planned to make a church-wide announcement or a push for our Churches on the Streets efforts that the teens lead out on every month. And so the staff and I were talking about it just a couple weeks ago, and Andrew goes, "Why don't you preach about it?" I'm thinking I was going to do like a five-minute little push or something, and Andrew's like, "Why don't you preach about it?" I'm like, man, I really stepped into that trap. As part of this Everyday Encounter series, he knew he had planned on doing a topic on a service, a sermon on service, and so I truly believe that God just aligned this perfectly. It's my belief. So I want to give you some background on Churches on the Streets. You can see some pictures on the next slide. So Churches on the Streets is an organization that's based out of Illinois and Florida. And so every Monday night in downtown St. Louis, they go and serve the homeless community. And every Thursday night, they're out in Alton, Illinois. And then I don't know anything about the Florida location, but they do a lot more than just serve the homeless community. They work with you know, children's ministries, sex trafficking, and stuff like that. And so it's just a great organization. For us, the one time a month that we go, we meet on Del Mar near the Emos headquarters, and we meet there with the organization, some other volunteers, then we leave there about 6 o'clock, and we caravan about two, three, four different locations, usually ending at the Arch, which these are some pictures at the Arch that you see behind us, and some good groups of us serving there. So my parents were roped back into the organization back in 2022 when I had moved here. They got brought in by some friends of theirs, ours, I should say. And then they had talked to me about it, and I have a passion for homeless and poor communities, and so they were like, "Nathan, you should come try this," and so I did. And I want to say this, that most people who go the first time, they're nervous. Okay, I was nervous going for the first time. It's downtown St. Louis, people have a bad perception of it, bad reputation. I'm nervous. I was nervous. But then I went and I fell in love. I fell in love hard. I love this mission so much. And at the time that I went, I was actually, around that time, I was interviewing to be the youth minister here. And all I could think about after a few times serving was, how, you know, if I'm hired here, how can I get the teens involved? How can I get the youth group involved in this mission? And I knew that could be a tough task because of people's perception of downtown St. Louis. But I'm not exactly one to back down. And if you need proof of that, just ask the staff and the elders. I don't back down. They have to deal with that. So I was hired in October of 2022, which is 3 years from next month. And then I'd planned to start taking the teens in January of 2023. I wasn't super worried about the idea of people rejecting this because I knew that what we were doing was kingdom work. That was number one concern, is we are doing kingdom work. Jesus is written all over this mission. And so I wasn't too worried. But I also understood that it could take some time to get people interested in this mission. And so the first outing ever, January 2023, I believe it was me, I think my mom came, and then Beata and Sophie McGlon, who both would come faithfully until Sophie graduated, class of 2024. And so I let the McGlons have a year off from youth ministry with Sophie's graduation, and then Ethan's back in the youth group now, so they get to deal with me for the next 7 years. So Beata's coming again with Ethan, which is great. And so they enjoyed it, and they kept coming. And then there was this one other student who wanted to go, little sixth grade Rosaline, and who's in ninth grade now. And she wanted to go. I'm not even sure she understood what the mission was, but Rosaline has always been servant-hearted, and so I figured that she just wanted to serve. I don't know if she knew what the mission was. And so while it wasn't hard to encourage Rosaline to go, it was hard to encourage her mom to go. Okay, and before you say anything, I love Joyce Holmes. She's a dear friend of mine, love her to death. The youth group loves her to death, and she allowed me to share this story because she knows the importance of this mission. So it was hard to encourage Joyce to go. She didn't want Rosaline to go. And so what happened was she, and some of you need to hear this. This is very important. Instead of just closing the door and rejecting the idea outright, Joyce prayed about it. She prayed about it. She consulted God about it. She said, "God, what do you want me to do?" Instead of just saying, "No, I'm not doing that," she prayed about it. Some of us need to learn that lesson. myself included. So she prayed about it, and God opened the door for her to go. And so they come, sometime that spring, 2023. And then let me say this. Every time someone new comes, and the teens know this, every time someone new comes, something weird happens. Every single time. Not necessarily bad or dangerous, but something weird, okay? So Joyce and Rosalind come for the first time sometime that spring. We're in a park area. I'm going to be so transparent with you guys because I want you to get the full scope of this mission. So we're in a park area. The sun's still out. We're good. Homeless are around the park, and someone overdoses. And the cool thing about what happens in the community is that when one person's struggling, they all gather around like a family, and they try to help each other. So you have the homeless community stepping around this man to help him. And, you know, I'm sitting here thinking, gosh, Joyce, you know, she prayed about it. She was so worried about it. And then she comes, and then this happens. She's not coming back. And so I go and I talk to Joyce, and I can't remember specifically what we said. But she said, you know, this is reality. This is life. And I don't want to shield my daughter from the things that are happening in this world. I'm like, wow. If you want to talk to someone who's faithful, talk to Joyce Holmes. Her faith is beautiful. So that's what happened. And now Joyce and Rosaline are there almost every single month for the last 2.5 years with us. And so I thank Joyce for that. One of my favorite things that happens when new people come is the moment that I realize that they're hooked on the mission. So almost every time someone new comes, we're at the end of the night, they come to me and they say, Nathan, you know what? We got so many requests for shoes and for shirts and for belts. Like, we got to go get this stuff, man. I'm like, you're hooked. Yeah, now you're hooked. So that has happened so many times, and it just brings my spirit so much joy to see them light up over the things that people are needing. They're like, Nathan, we got to go get stuff. And I'm like, yeah, you'll be back. You'll be back to serve. And we say, we got to get these things. But there's a problem in this mission, and missions like it, not just this mission specifically, but people might say, and I've heard this before, you know, Nathan, we're not solving the underlying issue of homelessness, you know, we're just kind of putting a Band-Aid over the problem, you know, and, you know, even then, like, it's only one meal on a Monday night, you know, they're going to get hungry again, they're going to get thirsty again, they're going to run out of clothes again. So we're not solving an underlying issue, we're just putting a Band-Aid on the wound. It doesn't solve their problems. And so I want you to consider the idea of a thirsty child. I'm not sure if the slides are working, but I have Matthew 10:42. There it is. Awesome. Matthew 10:42. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. If you knew a child was going to be thirsty again after giving them a cup of cold water, would you give them the cup of cold water? Yes, because although you're not solving their underlying issue of maybe why don't they have water consistently, they're thirsty in that moment, and you give them that cup of water in that moment, and it helps them in that moment. You're not solving all their problems. You're helping them. You're not healing them. You're not fixing your problems. So on the next slide, it shows helping, not healing. And that sounds bad out of context, but the idea here is that we are helping them. Sometimes we can't fix the problem. Sometimes we can't heal the problem. Sometimes that's just a God thing, where God calls certain people to try to fix a certain problem, and he calls some people to try to help a certain problem. But we have to take the pressure off of ourselves to try to fix everything, because we aren't God. God is working. Let him work through you. How many times have you had a problem? Who's had a problem in here? Has anyone had a problem in here? All hands go up. Okay. So have you ever had a problem and someone comes along and they support you in that problem? So imagine you have this overall problem and you have like little bits and pieces of things that could be fixed. And so someone comes along and they don't fix your whole problem, but they support you somewhere in your problem. And you appreciate it, right? You're like, oh, they didn't fix the whole problem, but man, that really helped me with this little piece right there. That's what churches on the streets is. We're not solving the world's issues, but could we support people while they're trying to figure things out? Another perception of homeless people is that they're lazy and they don't have jobs. Let me tell you right now, I've been doing this mission for a couple of years now. I've talked to a lot of them. They have jobs. Some of them are looking for jobs, right? And the problem is, you know, some of them who are looking for jobs, guess what else they have to worry about? Food, water, clothes, toiletries. So we're not fixing their overall problem, but could we support them with, instead of them having to worry about finding a job and the water and the clothes and the food, could we handle all the rest of that for one day, for one night, while they're looking for jobs? I've talked to them. They're working in bakeries, construction. They have jobs. they're just still struggling. And that's okay. So you may think there's no point in doing this because it's not going to solve all their problems. But if everyone thought that way, no one would ever do anything for anyone. And that's a disappointment. If we only gave a cup of cold water to a kid, if we knew that they were never going to be thirsty again, we would never give that cup of cold water. We're not healing the problem because sometimes we just can't. But while we try to figure that out, we can be a help instead of healing. And this is not something that we just do. This is an act of obedience to God. You see on the next slide, Matthew 25, that Lillian read for us. Let's use that same logic with some of Jesus' words here. So again, you could say, I'm not going to go give them food because they're just going to get hungry again. I'm not going to go give them water because they're just going to get thirsty again. I'm not going to go give them clothes, they're just going to get naked again. I'm not going to go visit them in prison because that's not going to release them from prison. Can we take it a step further when it's more relatable? What if the person next to you leaned over and said, I'm not going to brush my teeth again because my teeth are going to get dirty. How would you, if they're breathing, how would you feel, right? You wouldn't like that. You might say, I'm not going to take a shower because I'm just going to get dirty again, right? I'm not going to give the church money because they're just going to need more money, right? What if Jesus used this logic on us? Oh, that would be so bad. What if Jesus looked you in the eye and said, I'm not going to die for you because you're just going to sin again? Oof. Conviction, right? Now we know that Jesus' death and resurrection took away the power of sin. Not the fact that we're not going to sin anymore, but sin has no power over us anymore. And so, but Jesus could still look at us and say, I'm not going to die for you because you're just going to sin again. We would hate that logic used on us. So why do we use it on others? Matthew 25 is not just obedience to God. It's an encounter with God. Every meal you hand out, every toiletry, every piece of clothing, you're not just doing what Jesus told you to do. You are having a face-to-face encounter with the living God. He's saying, you did for me. But even then, we look into the face of our brother and sister, as Genesis 1:27 says on the next slide. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So you are getting to have a face-to-face encounter with God just by going to serve people. Are you someone sitting in this room right now thinking, I feel like I haven't had any encounters with God? Or is that you? When's the last time you served someone? When's the last time you put someone above yourself? There's your God encounters to go serve other people. The beauty of the kingdom of God is that we all have passions for different services, different ministries. Homeless people and poor people are not the only ones who need help, right? People go do missionary work. They go around the world and they preach and they serve. People do children's or youth ministry. Obviously, I'm very passionate about youth ministry. People serve in special needs. People serve in hospitality. Maybe you haven't had any encounters with God recently because your life has been all about you and there's no room for God. Is this something that we can consider? So this help, this idea of not healing but helping, and this encounter is about compassion. It's about lifting burdens and showing the love of Christ. Service, just like churches on the streets on the next slide, is about obedience and encounters. This is an act of obedience to God. Do you love God? Then you obey God. This is an act of obedience. Jesus is saying, when you feed someone, you're feeding me. When you give someone water, you're giving me water. When you welcome the stranger, you're welcoming me. When you heal the sick, you're healing me. It's an act of obedience and an encounter with God. So if you're wondering where your encounters are, go serve someone. And we think we're so different from homeless people. We really do. The only difference between you and us and homeless people is a roof over our heads. That is the only difference. They have the same faith that we do. I've talked to a lot of homeless people. Their faith is amazing. It's stronger. It's better than ours. It's stronger than ours. They have to have a lot more faith in God than we do because they have to rely on God a lot more than we do. A lot of them, another perception, they struggle with substance abuse. I don't think it takes a roof over your head to struggle with substance abuse. The people in here, people that you know who have homes, a roof over their head, do the same thing. Am I right? We struggle with finances just like they do. We struggle with mental health just like they do. We struggle with relationships just like they do. We struggle with anger just like they do. We waste money just like they do. And let me just say, churches on the streets, we don't give out money. That's not something they do. But there's been times that you've encountered homeless people that is you have a couple extra bucks in your glove compartment or whatever that you have an opportunity to give, whatever. There's actually a clip of this guy that I saw on social media a long time ago, and it really spoke to me. When I thought about this topic to preach, I was like, I need to, I'm not going to show the video, but I'm going to read what he said. So this the podcast, this guy's talking to another guy, and this is what he says about a encounter he had with a homeless man. This really spoke to me. A homeless man comes up to me. This time he said, "Can I have a dollar?" And I said, "I'm sorry, I can't give you money." And again, I was judging, but I can get you whatever you want from the, you know, whatever you want to eat. He said, "No, I just really want a dollar." I said, "Sorry, I can't give you money." And he saw that I wasn't going to give him anything, so he went to the next table. At the next table was another homeless man. The first homeless man asked the other homeless man, "Can I have a dollar?" At this point, the speaker starts to tear up and struggles to speak. You know what he did? Without thinking, he gave him a dollar. I said, "God forgive me, God forgive me." I was judging him. Another homeless man gave him a dollar, and I didn't give him a dollar. Sometimes I get asked that, well, should we give money to homeless people? And oftentimes, yes, we judge. Maybe that person's doing drugs. But then I started thinking, like, well, how many times has God given me money, and I used it for the wrong? At this point, the other man he's talking to starts to tear up, wipe tears from his eyes. Every day, right? How many things have we bought that we wasted, right? We waste money all the time. But does God still give me money? Yes, he still gives me money. Even things that I've used in the wrong way or I've wasted, yes, he still gives me money. Who am I to say no? And then what if by me giving him a dollar, maybe that saves him from doing something really bad, like doing something bad to get a dollar, right? So don't judge. Don't judge anyone. And how you want God to deal with you, deal with others. This reminded me of a story when I was back in college. I used to get VA benefits from the military, for my dad's military service. So I got a monthly stipend for being in college. So I wouldn't have to work and I could focus on school. And I just been sent a check. And so I went to the Walmart, the local Walmart where my bank was, and I just finished cashing a check. I'm blessed. I have money in my bank account. I don't have to work. I can worry, focus on school. I went to cash a check. As I'm walking out of Walmart, I run into this guy. I don't remember much about him. This was a long time ago. But he asked if I can help him, right? He told me a little bit. I can remember things like he said he had asked other people for help and no one was helping him. He had gone to churches and they weren't helping him. He had no ID. And I said, in my head, I'm like, I just put money in my bank account. Who would I be to not give him something? So I gave him a $20 bill. I said, I want you to go in Walmart. I want you to get yourself some food. And he did something I had never been offered before. He offered to pay me back. What? So he's like, "Let me get your number and I'll pay you back." I said, No. Don't pay me back. I've been blessed. I want you to be blessed by my blessing. So take this $20 bill, go into Walmart, get yourself some food." And then he left and I went my separate way and I looked back and I had this weird feeling. Like this was not a natural encounter. It felt supernatural to me. I was like, this didn't feel like a normal encounter with a normal human being. I was like, could this be an angel? It reminded me of Hebrews 13:2 on the next slide. "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing it." I'm not telling you he was an angel. I have no proof of that. But it felt different. A similar story happened just last weekend at Bread Shed. Dave was asking if I was going to share this story. So we had just finished serving Saturday morning, and then we went to the store. We went to Dollar Tree and Five Below. They're right next to each other. Went to Dollar Tree. All the kids are in groups going. They like to go waste their money, as I was just talking about. Okay, they love to go waste their money on things that they don't need. So I go to Dollar Tree first, and then I go to Five Below, and then David comes to me. He was with Ethan and Zachary, and he's like, "Nathan, this guy just, he saw our shirts. We were wearing our Bread Shed shirts. He's like, he saw our shirts, and he was talking to us about service, and then he appreciated what we were doing, and he gave us a $20 bill. Almost full circle. I'm like, wow, full circle. And so we went out to the vans, and we're standing there waiting for all the groups to come back to the van, and David's looking over at the store, and he had the same look on his face that when I was in college, and I looked back to that guy at Walmart, kind of the same look. Where did they go? David's like, "I didn't see him leave. I don't know where he went. Is it possible we just didn't see him leave?" Sure. "Is it possible that he was an angel?" Yes, absolutely. Like, we can't put God in a box and say that wasn't an angel. Because then I was like, looking at the face that David had, I was like, that's the same face that I had all those years ago in college when I saw that man walking into Walmart. Like, God sends people here. But I have felt the same way serving with churches on the streets, all these encounters that we have. How many angels have we ran into? How many times have we encountered God serving with churches on the streets? I've seen churches on the streets change lives. I've seen our youth excited to serve there. I've heard students say how much they love it. I've heard students say, I can't believe I hadn't been doing this sooner. I should have been out here sooner, doing this a lot earlier. The co-founder, I schedule our times with her. She messages me every time we're scheduled to go out. She says, are you still planning to come out? And I say, my students would be mad at me if I said no. If we weren't going out, would you guys not be upset? They would be upset, okay? They'd be mad. If our students can do this, we have no excuse. My dream for this church actually is to be sending out at least 2 groups a month. You know, the youth group goes once a month, and if we could send out another group with them, that would be awesome. That would be my dream come true. There's times that the youth group goes, and they have plenty of volunteers from other churches and communities, and it's a good-sized group. But then there's other times where it's just the youth group and like maybe 3, 4, 5 other volunteers. And I think, what would have happened if we weren't here tonight? They probably would have figured it out. But the more hands, the merrier, right? The more hands, the better. I'm here to call us out of this cute, comfortable little Christian bubble that we live in. We're so caught up with things of the world. And when God is in the heart and the face of the hands that we are called to go serve. Every month that we get to go serve these people, that's where we get to encounter God. I want us to be a church that loves this organization, that brings enough donations that it's almost like we're a branch of the organization. Even then, donations are great and all, but don't miss that opportunity to go serve if you are able and go encounter God yourself down there. I've been so, so appreciative of the donations that this church has produced and provided for this mission, but you have an opportunity to go have a face-to-face encounter with the living God by serving with churches on the streets. It's a beautiful mission. So I want to leave you with this quote on the next slide. Christianity is about controlling yourself and helping others. If it becomes about helping yourself and controlling others, it ain't Christianity. I used this sometime earlier this year. And Henry comes to me at church one day, and he said, I said this to a friend at school, and he said he wants to meet you. I never got around to meeting that friend, but I think it shows the weight of this quote, right? We cannot control people. We can only control ourselves and how we react to the ways of the world. Here's the thing. With the way of the world, we're going to approach theology different. We're going to approach, we're going to have different political views, different cultural views, and we're going to debate all these things. But there is one thing that we cannot debate, and that is Matthew 25. When we go to serve, we should be feeding the hungry and welcoming the stranger and healing the sick. That is not up for debate. Everything else, yeah, sure, you're going to debate theology and whatever. We can figure those things out along the way. But if that's the only thing that you're doing without serving, then what's the point? Jesus said, the sheep will be those that feed me and clothe me and heal me, not the ones who have the best theology, not the ones that live their lives the right way, like with their beliefs. The sheep are the ones who did it for him and did it to serve him. We can't control ourselves. We can't control other people. We can only control ourselves. So the best thing we can do is to go serve others as we've been commanded to do. So God, I pray that as the youth group actually goes out tomorrow night, that you will bless us and keep us safe and continue to bless this mission, God. I pray that you will touch this church, touch the hearts of the people in this church, that they will be called to serve in this way. And it doesn't have to be churches on the streets. It could be something, God, but I just pray that you will touch this congregation. You will give them a heart of service to you. Let this be a congregation that does not only serve people that come to us, God. Let us be a congregation that goes to the streets and serves those there. We pray this in Jesus' name. All of God's people said, amen.